Are you tired of being sheep? Well, so is he. Get a friend, get informed, and get involved. It's We Are Not Cattle Radio.
Yes, it is We Are Not Cattle Radio. My name is Jake Counts, and it is the ninth day of May, 2013. We're trying to get Adam Kokesh lined up here for the show. We've been texting back and forth, and we're going to get him on here very shortly to talk about his event that he's got planned for July 4th, and that is to do an open carry march, an open carry armed march onto Washington, D.C., so it's an interesting perspective. I've had a bunch of people ask me about what I think of this event. I'm actually going to be going there to cover the event. I will not be participating in the event. I'm going to just go up there to do, some documentary research and also to just, document the event. And I think that there's going to be a lot of us that are going to go up there and do that. You know, I've talked to a bunch of my friends in the Liberty Movement that I've met throughout, multiple events all over the United States, and it seems that we all come to the general consensus that this is the right time for something like this. With all of the gun legislation, with all of the buying of bullets from the DHS and all these other factions of the federal government, and then saying that it's to save money, meanwhile they need, 1,000 rounds more per person than any of our military, it just becomes very confusing for most people about what this is all about. What does this signify? Well, to me, what it's going to signify is does the Constitution reign in this country, or are we ruled by statutes? I think that that's what it's going to really boil down to at the end of the day. It's going to be, is this our government? Is it we the people? Or is it them the politicians? And I don't see this going badly, anybody. I understand that there's people out there that believe that this could be provocateured and you could have some issues and there's some other things that could go about. But I really just don't see that happening. And the reason I don't see that happening is because it's getting so much publicity on the front end, which is absolutely fantastic, because you can tell that now it's part of the mainstream news, and people are always going to look at something like this as an extreme. I don't know why. I really don't. I think that what has come to pass now is that we've become so decadent as a society that anytime anybody stands up for civil rights, the majority of people here look at that as an act of being extreme or going against the grain, when it's really nothing but asserting your freedom. That's all it is. You're asserting your right to be a free human being, because you can't just wait for liberty and you can't wait for freedom. You have to demand freedom, because if you don't demand freedom, you're going to end up a slave, which the majority of us are in some way, shape, or form, whether you're a slave to the corporations and the corporatocracy that help, destroy the rainforests and countries all over the world, whether you're part of that corporate little Borg and you're just a cog in the wheel, or if you're part of the Federal Reserve monopoly system where you utilize their fiat currency to buy goods and services from other people. So I think that this is a very valid stance, and this is something that's going to be this is going to resonate with almost every American. And what better day to do it than on Independence Day? So it to me signifies the culmination of the liberty movement, and is this going to be real? For all the libertarians and all the other activists out there that think that this is a bad idea, I can't really go there with you. I think this is a fantastic idea, and I understand the way that they're going to do it. you know, and once we get Adam on here, the way that he's going to do it and the way that they're trying to coordinate with the police and all of this, you know, not necessarily going and applying for the quote-unquote permit, which I think is, once again, another move of civil disobedience. Why do we need a permit to protest? Why? My First Amendment doesn't say that, you know, that you have the right to free speech with a permit. My Second Amendment says you have the right to bear arms that the government says are okay to bear arms. It's very concrete and it's very succinct. It's not debatable. So I think that what we're going to find from this event is, will this event be the culmination of the awakening of the American people, or will this be the opportunity for people that don't see how big this could be? Is it going to be the opportunity for them to cower? And I think that that's what Adam's entire mindset is that we're not going to cower. We're not going to cower. You know, you guys can buy all the bullets and armored vehicles and all that stuff. You can do all of that, and then you can make excuses for it. And, you know, I've said my take on the bullet purchase. I think that it's just a way to dry up the supply. I said that months ago on the show. I think that it's just a way to institute another form of gun control without actually going for the guns. You know, Barack Obama said that he would use creative means in order to minimize the guns. I can't remember the exact quote, but he said that he would do things not outside of law, but circumventing the law in order to maintain the guns. And, you know, while we're waiting here for Adam, I think that I'm going to play this. And this is something that we all need to take to heart. I've played this speech before, but this speech is from the dictator. It's a speech that Charlie Chaplin gave. And Charlie Chaplin was the silent filmmaker back in the, I guess, I think it was the 50s or 40s. I can't remember. But this is one of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard, because he talks about the cause of liberty. And that's the cause that we all need to fight for. It's not the cause of, you know, give me permission to go march or give me permission to own a firearm. It's that you have to demand this and you have to unite as one nation, as one peoples, as humans. You have to unite and say that, listen, we're not going to be intimidated. We have a right to protect our property, and our property is your person, your papers, your effects. It's all of it. That's all your property. So you have the right to protect that, and you have the right to protect that with force if it's infringed upon. If your life is threatened, if your property is threatened, you have the right as a human to protect that. And that's all this is saying. So here's the speech, and we're going to try to get Kokesh up here. I know he's probably running all over the place. So here's the speech, and hopefully we'll be able to pull him up during or before this is over.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world. Millions of despairing men, women, and little children. Victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, Do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man. Not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. To make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. A decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future, and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
And that's what it's about, everyone. It is not about Democrats or Republicans. It's not about liberal or conservative. It's not about that stuff. It's about you being a free human being. That is what this march is about. It is about being free to be able to protect yourself and understand that you were given these rights. And once again, I've talked about this before. The Bill of Rights and the Constitution don't give you the right to free speech. It simply puts down in paper, or excuse me, puts down on paper, what you're given to by your creator, whomever you believe that to be. Oh, just got an alert instead of just waiting for him to finish up the other interview. That's fine. So, but that's what it is. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. The fact that we're even having a debate about doing a peaceful march led by a military veteran that he even said in one of the interviews that I watched, I think it was on Alex's show, that if he's got to go around individually, and I can't wait to get his take on this, it sounds like he's about to wrap up that other interview and then we'll grab him. It sounds like, he's going to go around and inspect everybody himself. I just don't understand what the big deal is. And then you have, police chiefs out there saying that he's going to break the law. Well, of course, that's what civil disobedience is. It's breaking a law that you believe is unjust. That's what it is. And it's doing it by a peaceful way. It's not doing it in a violent manner. There is no way. I just cannot believe this. I don't believe that there's going to be any way that this will turn violent. And the reason that I say that is because there's too much riding on it. There really is. There is too much riding on something like this. Something that will have this big of an effect on people. I mean, I think that this is going to be like the Martin Luther King March or the Million Man March. I think that it's going to have that kind of historical significance. And I'm going to be there to cover it and document it and everything. Because, what better way, and this is what I told my family, what better way to celebrate our independence, than to see something that beautiful. It really is that beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It's free humans getting together, showing that they won't cower, they won't be slaves, and it's an act that I stand and applaud. Because at the end of the day, if you keep going along to get along, you're eventually going to slowly lose your freedoms. And that's what we've seen here in this country. You've seen the slow erosion of civil liberties. From 9/11, you can just, 9/11 hit the fast forward button for sure. But, you know, I would say since the time that Kennedy was assassinated for trying to move us away from the oil standard and put us on to some sound currency, I think from that moment, I know about the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. I understand that. I understand all these guys. But I think that the big turning point was there. And it continued. And it continued. And it continued. Did it get worse under Clinton? Nah, a little bit. Hey, they wanted to try to bring in, you know, universal health care before, but they couldn't do it. And then you had, George Bush Jr., which brought us the Patriot Act and all that stuff after 9/11. So that's the fast forward button right there. And I think that what Adam's trying to do with this march, and I haven't actually heard him say this, but I've got a whole buku of questions here for him. But I think that what he's trying to accomplish here is just, he said, and I don't know if he meant this by any means, but he said it was to put the government on notice, basically saying that, hey, look, you know, we're not chicken necks. We're not slaves. That's not going to happen here in the United States. And you do get some right-wing rhetoric every once in a while of the people that think that this government is going to try to take over. I just don't think that they're going to. Number one, we have too much technology out there to stop something like that. You know, I don't see that happening. Do I see them setting the stage and taking more and more civil liberties and being more and more open about it? Yeah, I see that all the time. And that's why I do my show, because you have to be aware of this stuff. Because once again, as I said at the beginning of the show, you can't just sit at your, you know, sit on your bed or, you know, sit on your front porch and really just hope for freedom. Just really hope for it. You know, if I just really hope for freedom, or if I really hope for liberty, it'll happen. No. No, you have to be informed first about how the world works. You have to be involved. You have to get out there and actually do stuff. You have to get out there and protest things that you don't believe in. And just don't spend your time, you know, sitting there mindlessly in front of the television. I know you had a long day. I worked in corporate America for over 7 years. I understand. I understand that the 8-6 and the 8-7s really suck. And then if you live in Atlanta like I do, you got the 8-7 and then you get the 45-minute or an hour commute home. I understand that. And the weekends, all you want to do is just relax and blow off steam. I understand that. But this is not the time in our nation to relax. It's not the time to just sit back and just wait, once again, and just hope that liberty shows up. Now, it's funny, I just got another text from Daryl, so we're getting there, guys. Sorry about the delay, but, you know, the fact that I get to talk to him with all this stuff going around is a treat for me, number one, and a treat for the audience. But number two, I think it really does show, you know, once again, the passion that he has. I mean, he's probably been doing interviews nonstop since, you know, 2 days ago, since it's finally got national attention on It was in USA Today. I mean, obviously Alex Jones and those guys covered it. And then he was on Alex's show, so he's just going to be getting bombarded. And, you know, you guys, if you listen to the show on Sunday, you heard Daryl Young on here, and he works with him, and he just says it's just absolutely bonkers. It's just, you know, they're going crazy over there with how many, you know, requests they're getting and all this other stuff. So, but, and I was doing some background research on this and why, and trying to find out why this is such a big ordeal, because Washington or Virginia in and of itself is an open carry state. But Washington, D.C. has some really strict gun laws. As I was, I mean, this is just, you know, Wikipedia, so give it for what it's worth. I mean, if this all holds up, when I would assume that it does, because I've heard people talk about the gun laws in Washington, D.C., about how you can't have, you can't even carry a loaded firearm. You can carry one, I think, if you have a permit, which I think they only give them to the politicians. I'm almost sure of that. And yeah, it's just, once again, it's a show of force. It's not a show of force. That was a really bad term. It's a show of civil disobedience, and it's also a show of, we don't believe that just because you wear a suit or, quote-unquote, a costume, just because you wear a costume and you work in Washington, D.C., doesn't mean that you get special privileges. And I think that that's what the core of the matter is, that these guys believe that they have special privileges. I mean, you look at what that insider trading adjustment that they made a couple weeks ago that I covered on my show about how you have to physically go to the records hall and go down in the basement and then physically ask, you know, physically or, you know, physically request the records of the people and how much money they make. And then Congress said it was for oversight because they didn't want too much information to get out because that would jeopardize people's identity. I mean, really? So you guys spent 35 seconds on the floor and then get a unanimous vote, and it's, oh, well, we made these changes because, you know, we want to protect our privacy. Go get LifeLock or something. I tell you what. I bet that every American on the planet would give a penny a year, which is probably all it would take for all of you jokers to go get LifeLock, so your identity doesn't get hacked, or whatever service you want. I mean, Jesus, you got the NSA right there. Do you really think that somebody's going to steal your identity? Like, I'm gonna go steal Joe Biden's identity. That's what's gonna happen. And I know they're talking about the lower ranks of the people, but just think about how ridiculous that is. Think about how ridiculous it is to have these people say something like that. And then, hey, we can have guns, but you guys can't. What? Well, no, you don't understand. See, we're important. You're the slaves. And once again, the whole undertone of this march, from what I've heard from Adam, once again, I haven't talked to him yet. The whole undertone of this march is to show the government that it's still we the people that run the place. It's not you the politicians. It's we the people. And just because you're allowed to, you know, insider trade, you're allowed to not let us see your records, and you're allowed to do all these other things and have mistresses on the side and get out of your tickets, and, you know, you guys are above the law, and that's, you know, that's great. At the end of the day, you still have to look us in the eye, the people that you're supposed to be quote-unquote representing, because we are a representative democracy. The people that you are representing are going to hold you accountable. We're going to hold you accountable. And I think that that's the first part of the awakening for the American people, is to understand that now is the time to start holding these people accountable. Now is the time for this stuff. Because if we wait and we start getting into a position like Europe was, where where they're starting to have a collapsing economy over there. I mean, then you don't have any opportunity. You won't have any opportunity to protest because you'll be so poor. You won't have any opportunity to do something like this, to make a statement like this. I find myself dumbfounded at the people that think that this is going to be a bad idea. Now, what happens if this thing gets provocateured? What happens? That will be Lexington and Concord all over again. And it'll just be very odd. That just seems like it's so far out of whack to me to do something that public, to do something that brazen. And, you know, understanding that, you know, 10,000 people strong marching on Washington, D.C., and it's not marching on them. I made sure to make that correction when I was writing my show notes today. It's not marching on Washington, D.C. They're not marching on them. They're marching into Washington, D.C. I mean, they're just marching into a municipality. Think about this at a fundamental level, how silly this is. They're not going to march into the Capitol with guns. They're not going to march into the White House with armed guns. That is not happening. They're simply going across a bridge onto a man-made fake imaginary line and march and then march out across the fake imaginary line made up by human beings. Think about how silly that is. And the police chief is like, well, as long as they transport them the way that the law states, we're not going to have any problems with them, but they need to know that if they're not transporting, they will be breaking the law, and we will, you know, and we will treat that as such. I mean, come on, people. Just get over all of this human manipulation crap. Get over it all. Start thinking bigger. Start thinking in a grander scale. You know, Daryl and I were talking on the show on Sunday, and he said that one of the representatives that ran against his friend in Athens said that the way that we're going to save the economy is we'll tax the internet and we'll raise taxes on tobacco. Why can't it be that we're going to stop bombing people? I'm sure that those bombs are not cheap, and I'm sure that those bombs are a lot less damaging than those cigarettes. I'm sure they are. Okay, just got another update. He said we're still waiting. I guess he's running overtime on these guys. Well, that's fine. I can sit here and rant and rave about this stuff because, I mean, this is what I do. This is my passion right here. So I do have the George Carlin clip bombing brown people, but I don't want to play that for you guys because I've already played that. Oh, here's one. I'm just looking for some fillers here, guys, because I need to get another sip of coffee. So, oh, here's the grand experiment. This is Ron Paul talking about the absolute shenanigans that is the Federal Reserve System and the act of central planning, and about how silly it is and how this is what has really destroyed our country, and that we need to take that part of the equation away. We need to take the central experiment, the grand experiment, away. So here's Ron Paul with his little one-minute speech on the grand experiment.
I think what we're witnessing today is the end stages of a grand experiment, a philosophic experiment on total fiat money. Yes, they've been debasing currencies for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and they always end badly. They always return to market-based money, which is commodity money, gold and silver. But this experiment is something different than we've ever had before, and it started in 1971 where we were actually given an opportunity in many ways to be the issuer of the fiat currency, and we had way too many benefits from that than people realized. But it's gone on for 40 years, and people keep arguing from the other side of this argument that it's working, it's doing well. And yet, from my viewpoint and the viewpoint of the free market economists, all it's doing is building a bigger and bigger bubble. And the free market economists were the ones who predicted the NASDAQ bubble, the housing bubbles, but we never hear from the Keynesian liberal economists and the central bankers and saying, watch out, there's a bubble out there. There's too much credit, too many problems there. There's a housing bubble. We have to deal with it. Usually we get reassurance from the Fed on that.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's what it's all about, guys. It's all about that, and it's all about being conditioned to accept it. You know, the establishment protects the Federal Reserve System so much, and I know that I harp on this a lot, because if you can change the way that your currency and credit is issued to your nation and put it back in the hands of the Treasury and put it back in the hands of the actual decision makers in Washington, I hate calling them that, excuse me, the elected representatives in Washington, they're not decision makers. Once again, let's stop using the term decision makers and leaders. They're not there to lead. They're there to do our bidding. They are there to serve. They are not there to lead. And they always get up there and tell you about how we're leading the charge on gun control, or we're going to lead the fight on gay marriage, you know, and we're going to lead the fight on marriage equality. It really, stop. Just break your trance, everybody. Because here's what happened. From the time that you were put into kindergarten to the time that you graduated college, especially nowadays, am I saying that every teacher knows this and believes this and thinks this? Absolutely not. But the system is set up for you to regurgitate. The system is not set up for you to be a free thinker. I mean, you do have an opportunity to flex your wings as far as the English portion of things, you know. You have that. But you don't really have the ability to challenge anyone. And what's funny is that as soon as you, and this is how you've been conditioned, you don't even realize that. From the time that you're taught to walk in a straight line from kindergarten, I know it seems very funny and very silly, but you're actually being conditioned to follow orders, and you're being conditioned to do what you're told, or there's going to be consequences, which I understand that you need that for a civilized society. I understand that. But from that point forward, as you move through the ranks of high school, college, middle school, all of it, everything reinforces the fact that if you can stay in a protective, it's almost like a coating of political correctness. Ooh, that was kind of good. It's like if you don't step out of this little area, if you stay in your politically correct bubble, then everybody will leave you alone, that you'll never have any problems, that nobody will ever attack you, nobody will ever try to, you know, if you go along to get along, if you don't engage other people, if you don't speak out, if you just keep, you know, keep the chain moving, don't rock the boat, all those things, then you're going to be just fine. Then you'll get to go to your 9-to-5, and you'll get to come home on the weekends, and you get to spend time with your kids and your family, and you'll get to watch TV, and then on Sundays you'll get to watch football and go and tailgate and stuff like that, and then you'll be able to come home and go back and do it all over again. Well, unfortunately, that might not be the case. Because as you, and you're not alone, you and a multitude of other people have done this. Really bad, conniving people have done their best to manipulate our legal system and get people in power who will do what the ultra-rich or the quote-unquote elite want them to do. And the elite don't want equality. They want the exact opposite of equality. They want slavery, because slavery is cheap and slavery is controllable. Now, how do I say that? What outrages me is seeing the complete disconnect from American people and how you can get galvanized about one little thing because the establishment media tells you it's okay to get upset now. It's okay to, you can be upset about this. And meanwhile, all the way across the globe, you had a structural collapse of a sweatshop that now the death toll is up to 700 people. 700 people. To give you an idea, that's 30 Sandy Hooks. That's 30 of them in one day. And these are people that are already living in impoverished conditions, making shirts or shoes or whatever they're making for you to consume because you want it at Target and you want it at $3.99. You can't pay that $4.25. You can't pay $4.25. You got to pay the cheapest price. And see, once you understand what the cheap price signifies, what the big box stores signify, it becomes very diluted then. It doesn't become about how much money you save. It becomes, am I going to spend my money in the right place? Am I going to vote with my dollar and support having a sweatshop or underemployed workers? And then you have the argument from people that say, well, you know, if you didn't have those sweatshops there, then those people wouldn't have jobs. Right? But those people don't make enough in the sweatshops to barely live. I mean, when I was doing research on John Perkins, and I found a couple of interviews that he did with a group. It was a little activist group, and I would actually like to get them on air if they're still around. But this activist group went over and they said, we want to go and work in an Indonesian sweatshop for 6 months. Or I think it was for a month originally. And they're like, we can't let you do that. And so they're like, well, we'll swap places with somebody for 6 months and we'll do the job of the sweatshop workers. And so they did. And they said that it was almost a daily thing that you had to figure out if you were going to wash your clothes or if you were going to try to eat because you didn't have any money to do anything. And the fact that you worked 6 hours a day and you got 2 15-minute breaks, and it was just atrocious. And they couldn't figure out how to survive almost. And people are dealing with this on a daily basis, and I think that's silly. I look at the abundance that we have here in America and then the selfishness that goes on top of it with people hoarding it. No, this is mine. I mean, we're a society of a bunch of like 3-year-old children. If you've ever tried to get a toy or, you know, anything away from a 3 or a 2-year-old when they're going through that me phase, dude, it's over. And that's what our whole society has become. A bunch of children that are all about me, me, me. Because you're coached that. You're coached that, you know, the individual is the one that's going to make the difference, and you're going to, you know, step on your other. And that's the only way to get ahead, is if you're hyper-aggressive and that you get out there and you do it and you don't, you know, donate or you don't do any of this stuff. That's not the truth. It's what you've been sold. And I know it seems fun for you, the individual. And I know that sometimes you wonder why you don't feel fulfilled. You might have 2 Audis, a big house, you know, money in the bank, all of it, and you still don't know why you're not fulfilled. You're not fulfilled because you're not part of the human experience right now, if you're living in that world. If you live your Monday through Friday, and your Saturday, you know, and your Saturday going to the park, and your Sunday watching football, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there because what it is that it's the human interaction. It's the human experience, bringing everybody together, you know, uniting for liberty. That's what's going to get you fulfilled. Because I'll be honest with you, when I first started out doing activist stuff, I just thought that you could do it on the weekends. You really can, but you're not going to be effective. You got to go out and you got to really try to make something happen. And I applaud these people. I applaud people like Adam for going out and trying to make a difference, for trying to make a statement, and a statement that should be made. You know, he was on Alex's show the other day, Alex Jones, and he said that, Alex said, I've been asked to do this many times, and I've never done it because, you know, he said that there can be too many bad things that happen from this. And I can understand that. I can understand that there could be some really bad ramifications to what could happen. So, but does that deter you or does that motivate you? To me, that would motivate me to do it right. To do it to the best of my ability. To do it exactly the way that Adam's trying to go about this. You know, reaching out to the police. Reaching out to, you know, they've got other oath keepers that are going to be marching with them. And that's how you do it. You get people that believe in liberty. You get people that believe and understand that the Constitution is not just a piece of paper that says that you have rights. It guarantees those rights. Remember, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Self-evident. They basically sat down and said, what are the natural laws of humanity? What are the natural laws of humans? We have the right to speak our mind. Okay. We have the right to protect ourselves. Okay. We have the right to not be searched without a warrant. Okay. And the people in Boston, you know, obviously that is a completely crazy situation. What do I do in a situation like that? If the cops come up to me with guns pointed at me and tell me to get out of my house, that is a point where I don't think that civil disobedience is going to work. Because they're already on edge. Now, I would make it known that it's illegal and I'm going to sue you all personally. I would say that as I'm getting ushered out the door. But to really defy that would be silly. And, you know, and once again, I wasn't put in that situation. And I made fun of people that got pulled out of their house and stuff like that. But once again, you're probably just terrified at that point, too. You don't know what's going on. You got the media hyping it up and telling you that this guy's crazy and that he's got a gun and all this stuff. And, I mean, just unbelievable. Well, here, I'm going to, looks like I got to go into overtime here and make sure that we can get Adam pulled up. And then for everybody that's listening to the live stream, you guys can check out the interview once I get him on here. It'll be posted on wearenotcattle.net. And I'll also send it out on my Twitter, wearenotcattle, the number one. So follow me on Twitter if you want to get the latest updates on this. And once again, I will post it to Facebook, so you can find me on Facebook. You can actually look for the We Are Not Cattle on Facebook page. And I'm everywhere. And the YouTube channel, as soon as we get it done, I'll put some pictures with it, with the audio, and put it on YouTube. But in order to buy myself some time, I'm going to play some of this clip. And this is from the Skinner Box talking about classical conditioning. And this is what I am terrified of, is that we're all just becoming conditioned to just accept whatever the gods in Washington, D.C. bring down upon us. So here is this.
Can pigeons read? This one gives every indication, because it's been taught to distinguish between two words and to behave appropriately. He's learned his different response to each sign by being rewarded with food. So the bird isn't acting independently. Its behavior is shaped by controlling its environment. The first task was to isolate an individual piece of behavior and see how that could be changed. Skinner did this by keeping individual pigeons at about 3/4 of their normal weight, so that the birds were always hungry, and food could be used as an automatic reward. The pigeon was studied in a uniform box, one it quickly grew used to. One piece of behavior, pecking a colored disc, was measured on a graph. The pigeon learned that pecking the disc produced a reward. Then the behavior of pecking could be studied in relation to how often that reward was offered, or in Skinner's terms, what was the schedule of reinforcement?
The main thing is what we call schedules of reinforcement. Reinforcement is what the layman calls reward, and you can schedule it so that a reward occurs every now and then when a pigeon does something. We usually use a response with a pigeon pecking a little disc, a little spot in the wall, and you can reinforce with food. But you don't reinforce every time, perhaps every tenth time, or perhaps only once every minute or something like that. There are a very large number of schedules, and they have their special effects. And there is a good example of how you can move from the pigeon to the human case, because one of the schedules which is very effective with rats or pigeons is what we call the variable ratio schedule, and that is at the heart of all gambling devices and has the same effect. A pigeon can become a pathological gambler just as a person can. Now, the fact that we found that out with pigeons and could prove it by removing and changing the schedule makes it easy for us to interpret the case with the human subject. We don't say that the human subject gambles to punish himself, as the Freudians might say, or gambles because he feels excited when he does so. Nothing of the sort. People gamble because of the schedule of the reinforcement that follows. And this is true of all gambling systems. They all have variable ratios built into them. So what we've learned from the pigeon, it made it possible to interpret this vast field very effectively.
Yeah, so that's how we've all been conditioned to accept the Federal Reserve System. We've been conditioned to accept everything that way. Now, is it just Skinner's? No, it's not just Skinner. It's a whole bunch of psychologists wrapped into one. But people have figured out how to control humans pretty well. I mean, you look at us. We're not running around, naked everywhere, and running around with like our hair's on fire. So they've done a pretty good job of this, And your schools are all Ford Foundation and Rockefeller Foundation funded. And they set the agenda, and that's why it's such a big deal to have the federal government over education. That's why people get upset about it, because that's what communist nations do. I mean, if you look at the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, man, we are almost there. We've got a central bank. They have control over education. I mean, it's creepy. And I know communism sounds good on paper to most people. It sounds good. It sounds, to each according to his need, each according to his ability and each according to their need. Sounds like a great idea, but the problem is that humans are so complex and the actual system is so complex that you can't get the correct ratios for even food. I mean, Thomas Sowell talks about that in his book, The Basics of Economics, about how the Russian system failed so bad. Is because you would have people at the local level manipulate the numbers because they wanted to make sure that they were going to get their quote-unquote fair share. And if everybody manipulates the numbers, then by the time it gets to the federal level or the level that the state controls it, then it's already skewed and nobody's going to get what they need. You would have incidents where there would be an abundance in one town and a scarcity in another, literally right down the road. So it never works out very well. But I'm going to try to grab a couple more clips here. Let's see if I've got some. I'm actually just going to play some gun clips in case we can get Adam to pop in here for a little bit. Because it looks like now he's been running over on all these interviews. And I don't know if he's going to be behind or what. So I'm going to play the pencil clip that I played on Sunday. So if you guys haven't listened to the Sunday show, here is the clip of the kid getting detention. Excuse me, detention. He got expelled for a pencil and pointing it at somebody and saying that it's a gun. And then you have the principal say, well, yes, that was very threatening, and a pencil can be threatening. So I'm going to play all the gun clips I got, and at the end of that, if we still can't get Adam pulled up, then we'll just wrap up the show, and hopefully I'll be able to grab him either a little bit later on this afternoon or sometime in the next couple days. Because this was kind of impromptu. You know, we've been trying to squeeze me in between all of his other interviews. So here is the clip on the kid being arrested for having a pencil and going bang bang. That's evidently that is a crime in America.
It was a child's imagination that got him in trouble. Second grader is suspended for pretending an everyday object was a gun. Some say the Suffolk school system took its zero tolerance policy too far. Only 10 on Your Side's Ann McNamara talked to the boy and school administrators. Ann?
Tom, 7-year-old Christopher wasn't playing with a real weapon. He was just playing with his pencil. He pointed it at a friend during class, and today I asked him to show me the action that got him suspended. And what is that you're doing?
A machine gun noise.
7-year-old Christopher Marshall pretended a pencil was a machine gun, and now he's sitting at home suspended from the second grade.
He's just being a typical boy. You're taking away his imagination.
Christopher's father, a former Marine, says the school overreacted.
It's gone too far. Enough is enough. I mean, where do we draw the line? You know, I mean, a pencil. I mean, was it sharpened? Was it not? Is it a number two? I mean, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, he's just being a kid.
A spokesperson says the school has a zero tolerance policy when it comes to weapons, and a pencil can be considered one.
A pencil is a weapon when it's pointed at someone in a threatening way and gun noises are made.
I was playing, I'm sorry, and stuff.
Christopher will tell you he was pretending to be a Marine, just like Dad, not trying to scare anyone.
Some children would consider it threatening, who are, you know, are scared about shootings in schools or shootings in the community.
There's going to be people that are overly sensitive because of what has happened. But you also have to bring what used to be called common sense into play.
And in playtime, Christopher won't be doing this anymore. By the way, Christopher had good grades, never was a problem in class before. He's suspended for 2 days. He could have been suspended for as many as 10. The school system evaluates every situation differently. Age, good standing can lessen the punishment. I'm Ann McNamara, 10 on Your Side.
And to see the discipline referral from the school.
With me on the line right now, Adam Kokesh from the Adam versus the Man podcast. With me, Jake Counts here. We are not cattle radio. So, Adam, thanks for joining us just for a few minutes. So, you've got the march coming up on July 4th. Why don't you tell the audience about it as far as what's going to take place, how the actual event got organized, and what you're hoping to get from this act of disobedience.
Well, it's been clear for a long time that this government has no regard whatsoever for the rule of law. There's one way to put them on notice that the people have noticed this, mm-hmm. and we are fed up with it. And we're talking about the Constitution in the District of Columbia, the District of Criminals, Mortar on the Potomac,
right.
where we have already been threatened with arrest for exercising constitutional rights, where I have a number of times actually been arrested for exercising said constitutional rights. And so on July 4th, 2013, Independence Day, I could think of no better way to celebrate independence than to assert our rights and call them out for what they are. We've already scored a major victory with this event, mm-hmm. having revealed that Kathy Lanier, the chief of police for D.C., is an oath breaker, that she cares more about regulations than her oath to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. I think that's of major significance already, but the plan, as we announced, is quite simple. To rally in Virginia, where open carry is legally recognized, and march across the Memorial Bridge into D.C., around the Capitol, around the Supreme Court, around the White House, and back down Constitution Avenue to peacefully return to Virginia. My advice for the chief of police is that she changes course and decides to give us the escort as we've requested. Mm-hmm. But this is happening one way or another at this point. And if we end up going up to the line and turning around, that might be the case. If I end up submitting myself to arrest and civil disobedience, that's one possible outcome. Mm-hmm. But one way or another, we are going to be carefully coordinating with all law enforcement agencies involved, making sure they're held accountable. And the event itself, what transpires, mm-hmm. will be more choreographed in advance.
Fantastic. Now, do you guys have any of the any police participating, like Oath Keepers? Or have you guys contacted or reached out to them to kind of help sponsor the event with you?
Well, I've actually sat down with Stuart Rhodes just last night. He's here in D.C. for some other business of his, mm-hmm. and they're not going to endorse it officially, and it really wouldn't be appropriate because it's not the mission of Oath Keepers.
Sure.
to engage in or support civil disobedience like this. Mm-hmm. They're more about educating and making sure that people don't follow unconstitutional orders through education. You know, we're willing to do it through action, and the people that are stepping up are really excited about that. And a lot of members of Oath Keepers are going to be joining us. We've gotten some great response from individuals within the organization, but that's really what this is all about. We are calling out the usurpers in D.C. for being oath breakers, and we are going to expose them as such.
Absolutely. Now, what's it been like for you over the last 48 hours to see this event get so much traction? I mean, I followed you after the incident you had at, what was it, the Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial,
yeah.
where you danced in silence. That's where I started following you. And, you know, it really was galvanizing to me to see somebody make a step like this, because at this point in time in history, with the Benghazi thing going on, with all of this stuff going on around us, as we see the crumbling of the EU, we see what big business or big government can do, and we see what our big government can do. Why do you think it's really important this time in history for this event to make such an impact and to really basically, like you said, put them on notice and try to see if they're going to tip their hand, as, like you said, the police chief? Are they going to tip their hand? Are they going to be oath breakers? Are they going to revert to this statutory law rather than the actual real law of the land, which is the Constitution? What's it been like for the last 48 hours with you?
Oh, man, it's been incredible. Doing interviews nonstop, getting tons of emails, lots of support. There are some people who are frightened by this, and I think it's good. I think it's time to pull people out of their comfort zones a little bit. I've been known to do that from time to time.
But that's what activism is for the most part, isn't it? Isn't it trying to get people to come out of their comfort zones and to really step out and stand up for what they believe in? Isn't that what we're trying to do, liberty-minded people, all, whether it's protesting the Fed or what have you, step out of your comfort zone?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are saying that this is potentially dangerous. I think the greater danger by far is sitting at home and doing nothing at this
mm-hmm.
point. You know,
mm-hmm.
spending 4th of July getting fat, watching fireworks, and patting yourself on the back for what a great country this is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's much more important to be doing something significant with our time, and that's what we're going to be doing.
Now, I know you got to go quickly, so I'm going to be really quick. Last two questions. How do people get involved in the event?
Just go to facebook.com/AdamVersusTheMan, and there you can find our events page, or you can go directly to the events page, which is Open Carry March on Washington,
mm-hmm.
hashtag Open Carry 130704. That's 2013, July 4th. And we appreciate everybody spreading the message, staying up to date with what's going on there. And, you know, I had no idea this was going to have the kind of overwhelming support that we've seen. So when we get to the critical mass numbers, you know, there is going to be a point where we can go into the District of Columbia and talk to the police and talk to the various federal agencies and say, this is what we are proposing.
Mm-hmm.
What is your response? And see exactly, you know, what kind of posture they take. And, you know, what they decide to do. And then we'll have a better plan as to what exactly we are going to do, what the choreography, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
is going to be. And at that point, we'll be able to promote something that's a lot more specific, and we'll be able to do the next steps of taking care of logistics, communicating for people that are coming from out of state, mm-hmm. organizing the you know, the exact route of approach, where we want people to park, you know, things of that nature. So all of that's coming, but mm-hmm. it's very unusual how this event is coming together, because it is such a unique event. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think a lot of people realize that, and they understand that this is a process. So stay tuned. There's going to be some important announcements. Although just yesterday, on my podcast, I was able to announce this incredible victory of getting the statement out of Chief of Police Lanier, as well as another officer for the Washington Post, who was challenged by reporters who have picked up on the story. And we today issued our challenge in the podcast to members of the military, if they're going to be oath keepers or oath breakers, what kind of oath keepers they're going to be. And so all that's coming in due time, but stay tuned, AdamVsTheMan.com, for the podcast. We're going to have more announcements coming, and it's really exciting to see how this is developing.
Absolutely, and I'll keep updating all my listeners, too, on my show. You guys can check it out. I'll do posts every week for WeAreNotCattle.net. And just so everybody in my audience knows what Adam's talking about when he refers to the chief of police, I have our actual statement here. And it says, we will make sure that they understand if they want to pass through the District of Columbia with firearms, as long as they're in compliance. Once again, that's what we're trying to do here. It's non-compliance. With the firearms laws for transportation of firearms through the district, we're all for it. But by passing through the District of Columbia with a load of firearms, this is a violation of law. It's actually not a violation of law, but whatever. It's a violation of that particular. You know, they draw their little magical line around the city, and as soon as you cross that magical line, you know, drawn by human beings, that's a crime, and we will treat it as such. So at the very end, in closing, Adam, I had to ask this to you because I know this is a very cheesy question, but it's one that always, you know, near and dear to my heart. If you, Adam Kokesh, can have dinner with any historical figure or anybody living currently, who do you choose to sit down with and why?
Wow, that's a really good question. You know, oh man, I would probably, you know, because there are a lot of ways you could answer that with self-indulgence. You know, who would be the funnest or the most mm-hmm. interesting? But what would be most valuable to me would be someone that I could convince to do the most good. So I don't know, maybe I'd talk to someone like Peter Thiel, who's super rich, who's a legitimate entrepreneur and seems like a good guy. He's said that he's a libertarian, mm-hmm. and maybe talk to him about philosophy and how much more value he can contribute to the world by leveraging his fortune to spread the message of liberty. I don't know if he'd be the first target, but something like that I think would be up there for me.
And now, for people that don't know, Peter Thiel, is that the gentleman that owns PayPal or began?
Did PayPal? Yeah. I believe he was the founder. He also had a huge stake in Facebook. So mm-hmm. he's definitely got the he's definitely in the financial position.
He's definitely got the paper fiat money to help out, right?
Yes. Well, I hope he's got more than that, and I'm pretty confident he does. So.
And now, you also have an alternative currency that you endorse. Why don't you endorse that really quick, and then I'll let you go because I know you got a plane to catch.
Absolutely, thank you so much. No, it's really important that people live by the values that we're talking about, not just talk about them. And one of the most important ways is to live agorist, to live free, to conduct your economic transactions without paying taxes, without the permission of government. And one of the ways you do that is by not holding Federal Reserve notes, because when you do, when you use U.S. dollars, you are paying the inflation tax simply by holding them as they lose value. And we are providing an opportunity with agoristmetals.com, A-G-O-R-I-S-T, for people to get our new voluntarism silver 1 ounce coin, as well as a host of other metals products that they can use to engage in the barter economy or other things that they think are important and empowering ways to opt out of the currency war. So I'm really grateful that there are so many people that are understanding this, that are getting it and getting out of the paying the inflation tax. And frankly, I don't care how you do it, but for me, it's just really exciting to be now in the business of providing one more way for people to do that.
Absolutely. And did you come up with that design yourself? Because that is really cool with the volunteerism and the snake around it. That is money.
Well, I wish that I could really, you know, I wish I could fully take credit. It was my idea, but mm-hmm. I had a lot of help with the design from the great guys at Coins for the Cause.
Well, fantastic. Well, that's it for the time. Adam Kokesh, thanks for joining us on such short notice. And once again, everybody, you know, just like I say every week, get a friend, get informed, and get involved, because that's the way that we're going to make change. Get involved with Adam Kokesh on July 4th. I'll be there covering the event. I won't be participating, but I'll be there covering it as media. So, Adam, I salute you, and I don't mean to offend any active duty military by saying that, but it's a, you know, a virtual salute to you, because you are really, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk. So I appreciate the time, bud.
Thanks so much, Jake.
Freedom. Yeah, and the feeling that you.